This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
You might have heard of a group, a rock group from the 1960s and the 1970s called the Beatles. Of course, you've heard of them. And they had a song called Help. I was going to ask Bob Guthrie to bring me an actual 33 of it, but I forgot to do that. Here's how the lyrics went. It started out with them like screaming into the mic, help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know, I need somebody, help. And so, like, so far so good, right? I mean, recognizing that you need help is often half the problem for many of us, right? The fact that we need help, that's great right at the outset. And so the song continued, and it centered on our independence, right? I never needed anybody's help in any way, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors, so help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground, won't you please, please help me. So those are great songs and great lyrics, right? We need others, and we need help. And there's a very real sense in which the help of others is what we need, right? These months of social distancing, these 11 weeks of us not gathering together have proven that it is grained into our souls from our Maker to need others. We weren't made to live alone, even if we're introverts. We weren't made. We need the interaction of others. Some of us might have been more energized by having more time to ourselves, but we still need other people. That's how our Maker has made us. Every single one of us is made in God's image. We're made male and female, and He's made us for Himself, and He's made us for one another. So the help that others can give us is real, and I think we've felt that in many ways recently. And today, as we return to the book of Psalms, we've been so helped these past few weeks. We've been journeying through these songs of ascent for the past few weeks. We've noticed how God is so helpful in not wanting us to miss the main point of each psalm. So as we've read through these psalms, we've seen themes repeated over and over again. So like in Psalm 120, we had this repetition about a deceitful tongue, and we had this issue of dwelling or sojourning or dwelling repeatedly. So there was something going on there right at the outset about a deceitful tongue, about dwelling. Psalm 121, when Luke preached a few weeks ago, it got at the help that God is giving us in keeping us. Keeping was mentioned 5 times just in a few short verses. Keep, 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 keep. We got it, God, I think. So Tom's sermon from Psalm 122 got at worshiping God with joy and praying for peace and security. That was repeated. Peace, security. And last week, Cole preached on Psalm 123, and he highlighted those repeated themes of mercy and how we've had more than enough of contempt. We have had more than enough of contempt. That was repeated, and we were all like, yes, we have. So God is helping us not miss what He wants to communicate. And today, God's going to speak through this song of ascents from David and open with words that we can't miss. Simply put, we could say this, that because God is on our side, this changes everything. It changes everything. So has it changed everything for you? Is your life trajectory on the way of following Jesus? Now, certainly there are many things that distract us along the way on this journey. There's a wide way, Jesus said, that leads to destruction, that is easily alluring us, and many find that way. Specifically, we have an enemy that would love for us to plant deep roots in this world and live in the here and now as if this is everything. And Paul encouraged his readers in 2 Corinthians 2 to not be outwitted by Satan or be ignorant of his designs. So that's an encouragement for us. We're not to be duped by Satan. We're not to be duped by our enemy. And these past few weeks, we've had opportunities to put all kinds of hope in all kinds of news. So the news is saying, we're reopening. And everybody's like, woo, yeah, here we go. So we might have put hope there. Or we might have put hope in other kinds of news. We're just looking for some good news. And I think I mentioned a few weeks ago John Krasinski started a YouTube channel called Some Good News, which now has been sold to CBS, whatever. I mean, he capitalized that with some really good news, I guess, probably, getting paid. So, do you know what real good news is? Have you settled to have confidence in the news, the good news even, that this world offers? Or have you been nurturing your heart to center on the good news that's found in Jesus and even praising God for that? Centering your life there on that good news. That's really the issue of this psalm. It was the issue for David, and it continues to be the issue for God's people. Is the good news of God's help provoking praise in us? That is the question that this psalm is answering. Is the good news of God's help provoking praise in us? Is it stirring up praise in you? That your gut reaction is, oh God, thank you so much. I praise you for this. So today I hope to help us make progress in our journey on the narrow way that leads to life, that we may be found by God, helped by him, and praise him. So I invite you to join me as we see two considerations regarding God's help. Two considerations regarding God's help. And if you're a little slow this morning, getting back in the rhythm, that number two means there's only 2 points today. So two considerations regarding God's help. So Psalm 124, let's read that together. Psalm 124, here's what it says. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging rivers, or the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So two considerations regarding God's help. Two simple points today. And the first consideration regarding God's help is this. Suppose God didn't help his people. Suppose that. Think about that a second. What if God didn't help his people? Suppose God didn't help his people. So back at the beginning in Psalm 124, 1, you notice the title, right? It's a song of ascents. So it's a song for the ascension, a song for going up. And the Bible does name the author of this particular psalm. It's of David. Now, we've been doing a lot of thinking about of David in the last year and a half as a church. And we don't know exactly when David penned this psalm. Maybe it fits with David hiding from Saul in Gath, like Psalm 56. In Psalm 56, we have that repeated refrain, in the Lord, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? We find that famous verse, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's Psalm 56. Maybe he wrote it then when he was hiding from Saul in Gath. Or maybe it was 2 Samuel 5. David's the anointed king and the Philistines hear it. So now David is king over both Israel and Judah. The Philistines hear it and they think, now's the moment. Let's come search for David and kill him. So David asks of the Lord, he inquires of the Lord, shall I go up and fight these Philistines? And God says, yes, go up. I assure you of victory. And so God gives him the victory. And the Philistines think for a second, like, well, that didn't go so well. Let's try again. Let's go up and attack David again. So again, David inquired of the Lord, and this time God said, sit back and watch. This time I'll fight for you, and I'll give you the victory. So maybe that's what this psalm's about. That if the Lord had not been on David's side in these moments, then those enemies would have gulped him up. The waters would have gone over him, but bless God, God did come through for David. Maybe that's when it was written, in 2 Samuel 5. We don't know. But we do know that David is wanting the nation, he's wanting God's people to consider this as he begins the psalm. And the reason I worded this psalm as this first point is a supposes, that's where David takes us, right? Look at the first word of verse 1. If, that's a consideration, like if the Lord had not, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. All of Israel then is invited to join in the singing. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, who was on our side. I know modern worship music sometimes gets a bad rap and gets beat up pretty bad because of the repetitive nature of the songs that emerge in modern worship. Like my favorite is, "I could sing of your love forever." And by the time I get to the end of that song, I feel like I've sung about his love forever. You know, like, oh gosh. And so we could actually, you know, use that. It might be like this: "If the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side." You know, we could just repeat that, just like the psalmist does here. So, I mean, the notion of modern worship music repeating stuff like that is a biblical notion in some respects. Now, we might not like the chords, we might not like the music, that's fine, but the Bible repeats these things over and over again so that we can get the gist of it. And this psalm begins, "If it had not been the Lord on our side, if it had not been the Lord on our side." And then we're invited to consider, right? When people rose up against us, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, that's what we're considering here. What if the Lord wasn't your helper? And we get some scenarios beginning in verse 3 with the "then." See that? So in your Bible, you might want to circle the "ifs" and then circle the "then" that begins verse 3, the "then" that begins verse 4, the "then" that begins verse 5. And here's the scenario. If the Lord had not been on our side, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. When people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. It almost envisions like a large dragon coming in just in one gulp, consuming us. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, that's what would have happened. When people rose up against us, they would have been able to just gulp us in one bite. Oh, and we're gone. That's what verse 3 is saying. Or what about verse 4? It's like a flood. If God wasn't on our side, then the flood would have swept over us. The raging torrent would have gone over us. It's like the water would have come rushing through and just boom. You've heard about, like, don't drive into flooded areas. And it's because if you drive into a flooded area, what's going to happen is the torrent is going to drive you away. You're going to be carried away. That's what's going on. Or verse 5. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. All of these water images. It's like we're near death. And that would certainly be ours if God wasn't on our side. This is why a lot of commentators believe 2 Samuel 5 is the circumstance. Because in 2 Samuel 5:20, as David is praising God for God's rescue, here's what David says, 2 Samuel 5:20. "The Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood." So it's like God has just come through and he's the one that's rolled over them like a torrent of water. He's the one that's tore over them like a bursting flood. So you might notice too in verses 4 and 5 we have some rich Hebrew poetry. Look at the parallelism, how it's all worded there, showing that God cares for us even through the flood of our enemies' attacks. He's caring for us. So today, as we jump into these verses for ourselves, you might say, well, that's great that God was on Israel's side. What about me? Suppose God didn't help his people. Suppose God didn't help believers like us. Where would we be without the Lord coming to our help? Where would we be? Where would we be as individuals? An individual believer in Jesus, if the Lord was not your help, where would you be? What hope would you have? What would you put confidence in? So that's what this opening point is inviting us to consider. Now, I want to say for sure, the Lord has helped us. So think about like Martin Luther's famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress." Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Like, if at the end of the day, all that I leaned in on was myself, my striving would be losing. If we tried to fight our enemies in the flesh, we would fail miserably. But Luther continues, "We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle." God has not abandoned his people, but he's rescued them. And yes, in Jesus, we have salvation from our enemy. No enemy can consume us. No flood can overwhelm us. God has cared for us richly in Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The victory is ours forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Suppose God didn't offer up Christ for us all. We would be people to be most pitied. But God has delivered up Christ for us all. And he has come through for us. God is our helper. And we will not be given to fear. He is with us. So, the first consideration, suppose God didn't help his people. And then I kind of concluded and said, well, he actually has. Christ has come through in a big way to help us. And look at how the passage ends then. So, that we consider that. What if God didn't come through? But look at verses 6 through 8. The second consideration, finally, is a call to praise God that he does help his people. It's a call to praise. It should provoke something in you. When you consider where you would be without God's help, praise should be the natural other shoe dropping, right? It's easy to yawn at such good news. It's so easy to take God's amazing rescue for granted. I mean, might this be part of the reason why this was repeated to these pilgrims on their journey? And the opening word here in verse 6 is blessed. Blessed be the Lord. The covenant-keeping God of Israel has come through again for his people. And the word on our lips is one of blessing. He's so good. He's come through. Blessed be the Lord. We speak words of praise to him. And so right now, I just want to give you a moment. Like, I don't want to go any further in the sermon. Just take a moment right now, just in your heart, and just bless God for what he's done for you. Bless God for how he's helped you. Maybe you got nothing. So just speak a word of thankfulness. Say, God, you were so good. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Bless the Lord. So in some respects, this is a culmination as to where we've been in these songs of ascents, right? We've seen requests of God like, deliver me. Or we've seen requests like, have mercy on us. And this psalm is calling us out of all those asking to consider now, what would happen if God didn't show us mercy? But now in verse 6, we're called to bless him because he's done great things for us. Blessed be the Lord. And look at the end of verse 6 into verse 7. We bless God because he's provided an escape. We bless God because his help is like an escape for us. God's not allowed us to be prey to their teeth. Going back to the enemies of verse 3 that are set out to gulp us down in their anger, God's not allowed us to be prey for their teeth. In verse 7, we have some parallelism and repetition. We've escaped like a bird escaping a snare. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. So it's kind of an emphatic way of saying that we're free. Where verses 3 and 4 talked about God's rescuing through water, now verse 7 gives us this imagery of God rescuing through the air. So it's like water, air, and land. I mean, is God not able to rescue anyone? Is there any situation in which God's not able to rescue? And all of this sets us up for the final verse of this psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's why he can help us. He can rescue through water. He can rescue through the air because he's made it all. Like there's nothing on planet Earth of which the Lord doesn't look at and say, oh, that's mine. I've made that. I have rights to that because I've made it for myself. So our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's our maker. You might remember Psalm 121 began in much the same way. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That he made it. I mean, is there any kind of helper? Like if I was going to try to figure out the blue screen of death on a Windows PC, I could go to Bill Gates. He made it. Like, you know, Apple, I call tech support. Like, you got this? Yeah, we got it. We've thought through this like 100 different ways. You know, like, they've made it. And God, like, all the stuff of humanity, God has because he's made it. It's his. Now, it's worded a little weird, isn't it? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Did a name make anything? I mean, it's kind of a weird wording, right? A name didn't make anything, let alone heaven and earth. But what's the psalm getting at? It's like Psalm 20, verse 7 says the same thing, right? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So what's the psalmist getting at? What's David getting at in this case? It's what he's getting at is not so much God, although that's certainly true. The name of the Lord would be his reputation or all that he stands for. That our help is in like the one who has the skills to back up all that he is. That's what the psalmist is saying. Like our help is in the name of the Lord, like the one who has the skills to pay the bills. Like he has the ability to take care of all this because he's made heaven and earth. His reputation is one that is unparalleled. He's able to do all this. So like we don't trust in chariots or horses, but in our God who has the reputation to back up who he is. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the covenant-keeping God and all that he represents or stands for. And this God made heaven and earth. So rescuing his people from the air, from water, or any other type of cataclysm is not a big deal for him. It's right in his wheelhouse. He just is really good at helping people that need rescue. Our help is in the Lord, who eternally comes through for his people. The psalm began by asking if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and it ends with a confident declaration. Blessed be the Lord. He rescues his people and is the maker of heaven and earth. In much the same way, Paul would ask the similar question in Romans 8, right? Romans 8, 31, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Blessed be God. He didn't go off and leave us. But we get to respond to him by recognizing who he is and giving him his due. We get to praise him. So this psalm is a collective psalm of thanksgiving for us as God's people. We can praise him because he does indeed help his people. So in conclusion today, we've seen two considerations regarding God's help. The first consideration, suppose God didn't help his people. Man, that's bad circumstances, right? But praise God, he does help his people. So as we wrap up this sermon today, have you considered the help that God gives and put your trust in him? Is he your helper? Today, the simple way to benefit from God's help is to believe or trust. Like, consider how that chair that you just sat down on is holding you. Or maybe you're home and you're watching in your pajamas and the sofa, you just sat down to watch the sermon and the sofa is holding you. You put trust in that. And you're putting trust in God to be your help. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to trust. Specifically, as it relates to you and God, you're putting all your confidence and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. You're putting all your hope in him, that he lived a perfect life, that he died in the place of sinners, that he rose again and defeated any foe that could defeat you. You're putting all your confidence, all your chips are on Christ. So will you hope in him today? Will you believe and trust in him? This week, our nation has been enraged with injustice. Questions of how certain parts of the population relate to people of a different skin color have provoked all kinds of division and even action on the part of some. And we hate injustice, because our God is a God of justice. And we may wonder, like, I thought God always came through for his people. Why does God help in this situation? What is he up to? Now, while we can't pretend to know all the reasons behind God's workings, we can confidently say that he's good and wise. And injustice will be righted someday. This world may get it right sometimes, and wrong at other times. So we live in a broken world. And the message of this psalm anchors us eternally, that God will vindicate, that God will help, that God will come through for his people. He's helped us by sending Jesus to die for us, and he'll help us as Jesus returns for his people someday, and he will right all these wrongs, and he will give us eternal help fully realized in Jesus. So we put our confidence there. It's back to the same thing of putting, this psalm calls for us to trust in him now. In days of COVID, in days of racial tensions, we're called to trust in Jesus and put our hope in him now and forever. That's how we kind of dial into his help. And you may say, well, I'm not satisfied. I want a God who gives me everything right now. It's not going to happen. Like, God's not brought all this to earth fully and finally yet. He's gonna. That's what he's promised in his word. He's gonna do that. But this world is broken. And so, yes, to the degree that we can, we should stand up for justice. We should stand up for what's right. If people are getting treated wrongly because they have a different skin color, that is against what we believe. We're going to resist that. But our hope for rescuing that is not found in like our social justice work. Our hope is found ultimately in Christ. And from that we move out. And while there's all kinds of probably individual applications for each of us through this psalm, the bulk of the heart of this song is how God comes through for his people corporately. It's kind of like an all y'all kind of thing. Like, all of us together corporately are the ones that God comes through for. He helps his people. Consider where we would be without the Lord coming through for us as a corporate people. Think about this. If the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? But praise God, he did come through. So what does it look like for us as a corporate body to bless him? How might we extol his virtues, his character, and all that he stands for? What would it look like for us to celebrate our escape from all that might ensnare us? So one encouragement or one thought might be, I've drawn from 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 recently, is that because God is our help, we don't lose heart. We persevere. Because God has operated toward us in mercy, we don't lose heart. Outwardly, we may be wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day, and we don't lose heart. We're of good courage. That if God is for us, who can be against us? We persevere. We keep putting one foot in front of another in relation to this. So may the good news of God's rescuing his people cause us to persevere in these days, that we might glorify our blessed, helping God and enjoy him forever.